Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Evert. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We are going to be doing our top 10 horror movies, just kind of a review of 2019. We're going to be doing our dishonorable mentions and our honorable mentions. And
I call them tops and flops because I'm a creative person. And I
yes, and that's it is. It's much more creative to have your little rhyming and alliterations.
Yeah, okay, wow. Alrighty. So we're going to get into it. This is going to be a long episode if we don't just get into it, because there's probably like around, you know, 20 to 30 movies we each want to talk about. So, and they're not all the same. So let's start it off. So I'm going to do my flop list, or what Sickle refers to as dishonorable mentions. And then Sickle can do his, and we'll see what happens. But mine, my flop 10, if you will. Yeah, flop 10, get it, because it rhymes with top.
Oh, no, I like it. No, it's okay. Better than dishonorable mentions, okay? All right? It's better.
Flop 10, except for there's not 10. So the first one I had is La Llorona. I thought that movie was just like...
It's La Llorona.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Come on.
But the main problem with it wasn't me mispronouncing the name. It was the fact that it really just felt like they pushed it out. And it wasn't even related to... It was barely related to any of the other movies of its ilk from that same studio. And it just felt like it could have been better. And it just wasn't very good.
Only just because I have it on my list as well. I'm going to just piggyback off of that. Like,
is
I felt
on your
the
flop
same...
list?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. It's, oh, yeah. I thought it was, like... It, like, I thought The Nun was pretty basic, like, mediocre as far as, like, especially as far as, like, that franchise, that universe goes. And then La Llorona, like, dropped it another...
I liked La Llorona better than The Nun, but I feel like we could put both of these in the flop area and call it...
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. It was very basic. It, like, was riding the coattails, clearly, of, like, the better films in the series, in, like, the universe, and it was not good.
Yeah. And I'm going to bust off three really quick here. The Dead Don't Die, Braid, and Velvet Buzzsaw. I think they were all a little bit too up their own butt to enjoy. Velvet Buzzsaw was the least so of those, and there were some scenes in Velvet Buzzsaw I did like, but Braid and The Dead Don't Die were just terrible movies that I'm sad I sat through. And I don't really feel that way often, which kind of makes me sad thinking about it right now. Velvet Buzzsaw not so much, because I got to watch it on Netflix instead of paying for it in a movie theater, so...
That's true.
It doesn't have much buyer's remorse, if you will.
Yeah. The only one I have of those mentioned on any of my lists is I do have Velvet Buzzsaw mentioned in my honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only... And I found that, like, really the only reason I enjoyed it is because I went to college and I had to deal with the art house scene in college.
Yeah.
And so it was cathartic to, like, see them making fun of that and, like, the satire of all that. But, like, it was none of the actual horror elements. It was all... Jake Gyllenhaal just making fun of those people.
Yeah, and I think for me that's where it falls the most, is that I wanted it to be more of a horror movie. And I do appreciate what it was trying to comment on, because I definitely understand how shitty that environment can be, but it just wanted it to be more horror, so, yeah.
I agree. The horror elements themselves were, like, very weak, mm-hmm. I thought. Generic.
And I have two movies right now that I know you're not going to agree with, but I have two movies that actually were shown at Telluride. That I want to put on this list, and it's not because they were a Telluride, they were actually movies that were done by streaming services. One is Wounds and one is Eli. And I feel like those movies, they're the opposite of each other in terms of why I don't like them, but they both, like, just missed a crucial part of what I really needed out of them to enjoy them. Wounds was, I wanted the whole movie to be the last, like, 30 minutes, and Eli was, I hated the last 30 minutes. So it's like this opposite thing. And I don't think that they're necessarily... I think these are two of my most subjectively flop movies for me. And so I won't dwell on them, because I know that at least Wounds, maybe Eli, are on your honorable or top list, so...
Yeah, Eli wasn't even worth me mentioning on any of them, I feel like. I don't know.
Okay, and then my final one... so I have two more, sorry, actually. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Let Me Down, and that's all I'll say about that. I wanted
it
to be more of something. There's so many ways that you can make that interesting, and they chose not to do any of them. All a creep show. So, which I didn't put on here, which I'm going to have to change my top 10 real quick. But the last one I have is this movie called The Shed. I saw this movie, and I got really deep... What Is it Night, Fright Night vibes? And whenever I get Fright Night vibes, I get excited because, as you'll see here later, some movies that remind me of Fright Night are really, really good. But The Shed just had... It was just totally a B-movie. Like, there was stuff in it, and actors, and the visual effects and the effort they put in just wasn't quite enough to make the premise good. The premise was kind of cool, because it was like this dude who's trying to figure out why his like pets keep dying gets bit by a vampire and then has to and like starts turning and hides himself in the shed, and this kid finds him. But there's just so much random stuff that happens, and you don't understand why this kid's the way he is. You do understand it, but you don't, like, it sucks and there's no reason for it, and yeah, it's just not well put together, and it ends up being kind of Fright Nighty at the end, but not enough to redeem itself. So, all right, that's my flops list. That was 5 minutes. We're doing good. Go ahead. Cool. What's your dishonorable mentions list?
All right. Well, I'll have a couple of controversial ones here in regards to like their general reception from other people. But I really didn't get the hype around The Prodigy. I thought it was a pretty mediocre Kid is Evil movie. It had some cool ideas, but I didn't feel like they were explored in a unique way at all. I do have Pet Sematary on mine. I thought it was a pretty generic adaptation. I don't think it was bad, but I don't think it was special. This is really hard for me to say because I do not agree with this. I don't agree with giving up on a movie before I've finished it. But I could not get through
some of those Krampus movies.
Well, I don't blame you. But like this one, like actually got decent reviews from people. But I could not get through Body at Brighton Rock. I think I got like.
I think I gave it a.
It's about a girl that finds a dead. She like works for a park.
Oh no! And, I remember. Okay, you don't have to go over it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like there was a scene where she's dancing in the forest while she's listening on her headphones to crappy music, and I was just like, I don't know how much more of this I can take. And I gave up like 10, 15 minutes after that. I don't know why people thought that movie was so good, but maybe it gets really good after that, and I didn't give it the time. But In the Tall Grass, I thought was a mediocre Stephen King adaptation.
Wait, are these your flop ones?
Yeah, these are my flops. And I did put Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark on mine as well. I really liked seeing the Pale Woman on the screen, big screen. Like, I thought that part was cool, but that was the only part I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like what she did. I just liked the look. Like, the look was great.
Yeah.
Everything else was lame. Mm-hmm. Then I also put The Lodge on here. I thought that was way overhyped and way overrated. It's not a bad movie. It's a very well done movie, but it's ridiculously slow paced. And to me, there was like no twist at all. Like, it's just all black and white in front of you, and it's like pretending like there's supposed to be a twist. I don't know.
I thought there was a twist, but I'm also bad at watching movies, it turns out.
It's okay to enjoy movies in different ways.
Yeah, but as a critic, you should probably know how to watch them in a critical way, which I have trouble doing sometimes. Like, I'm not going to talk about how bad a critic I am. What are we talking about here? Was that all your dishonorables?
Yeah, that's all mine. All
right. So, so we had a few over crossovers. I don't think anything that is on my top 10 is on your dishonorables, which is good.
Yeah, it was close, because I think you did have one of your honorable mentions on there at one point. But
Which one?
Pet Sematary, right?
Oh, yeah, that's still an honorable mention, but not in my top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to what I'm calling almost 10 and what Sickle is calling honorable mentions. So this was really hard for me because I actually had like a top 12 movies or 15 movies at one point this year, and I kind of had to make some cuts, and I tried to make put things on my top 10 that portrayed what I thought was really good for various kind of genres.
Yeah, that's what I like to do too. And like give it some uniqueness to it.
So there were certain things I had variety. To pull off that I put right directly on the almost list that probably should have made the top 10, but I you know what? F it. The first one I have is Black Christmas. Like, it was so close to being my top 10, but like upon like further reflection, I just don't think it was like that good. It was super interesting, and it's a really cool way to establish like what the slashers can be nowadays and like that stuff, and I really like the message from it, but I don't think it was like anything crazy iconic. I think it's like a kind of like a gateway of like what can be done in the future. So it's like an almost. I put Us on there because I like Jordan Peele and I want him to keep making movies. I think Us was better for me than Get Out, but it was also, I don't know. It just didn't push itself up into the top 10 for me. Yeah, I think that's all I'll probably say about it. I had to choose one Stephen King movie of the year, and I don't know that people are going to agree with the one I chose, but the ones that almost made it were It Chapter 2 and Pet Sematary. I thought It Chapter 2 was a good horror, what do we call them, horror adventures. It had a lot of like action in it and not a ton of scary stuff, but enough that it made you jump. Like, but again, I do need to watch it again because I watched it late and I haven't had a chance to. Pet Sematary is my other one because I dig the lore around what's happening in that movie, and I think creepy kids are creepy. The other one so yeah, keep going. Midsommar's on my almost 10. I think Midsommar was good. Actually, I'm gonna make an executive decision and take Midsommar off my almost 10 because I think Midsommar's just a movie. I'm not sure that I enjoyed it enough to put it on any list. So scratch that. The Girl on the Third Floor is my other movie that I put on one of the other movies I put on here. I wasn't really expecting to see what I saw when I saw it at Telluride, and I think it was pleasantly surprising, but it just didn't get up there enough. It's got a pretty interesting story, things happen, but it's one worth seeing, but not one of my favorites of the year. We have a few movies that like disappointed me in terms of like what they could have done, and that's why they're on this list. But they're not as bad, so I wanted to put them on this list, which was The Wind and Sweetheart. The Wind was pretty cool because it's a western and it's about crazy demons and stuff like that, but it didn't really deliver on the whole demon front as much as I wished it would. And Sweetheart was really good because you saw the monster, but I wanted more. I wanted more out of that movie. My last two are one that I thought was like super close to making the top 10, but it's just that it's a little bit too cheesy to actually make it, which is the Banana Splits movie. It's like Five Nights at Freddy's. They couldn't get the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise is what it felt like, so they did it with Banana Splits, which is fine. There's some cheesy kills, some good kills. But it's just a little bit too cheesy, you know? And then one I had to make an executive call on just now. I'm just making sure I didn't have as many. Was The Perfection. So I thought that movie was really, really good, and I really, really liked it. But I just couldn't. It didn't quite make the top 10. But it is definitely a movie you should see if you haven't seen, because it is awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna have quite a bit of overlap, I think.
On the
Well, for
almost.
my top 10, but
Good.
my controversy, my honorable mentions,
Wait.
I
Your
also.
overlap is my almost or all your tops?
Yeah, pretty much. So my honorable mentions, I'm pretty sure this one's probably in your top 10. One of them was Scare Package for me.
I didn't even put that on here. I totally spaced it.
Oh no. It's like a horror comedy satire anthology. And I just felt like it was really, really good and really funny, but also got a little repetitive. And some of the stories weren't quite as good as some of the others, so like they really stood out like a sore thumb. Unfortunately, I feel like a lot of like the quality kind of like tapered down like through the movie until you get to the end, which was great. But I put Midsommar on mine, and I'm pretty proud of the way that I chose to, or like I'm sticking by the way I feel about that movie, that I feel like it. Like, from like a completely critical standpoint, it's a great film that you would classify as horror, but I have absolutely no desire to watch that movie ever again. Like, it's so, to me, like the pacing is ridiculously slow, which is fine, but it's so slow that I don't know if I could sit through it again, on top of it just being super dark and depressing. And
I
then
think that's probably what I ended up landing on too, is that like I just don't want to see it again.
yeah, and like to me, like and like you, not everybody's like this, because a lot of people don't. I've found that a lot of people like to just watch a movie once and then never watch it again. But I like watching movies again, and so rewatchability is a quality in films that I put a lot behind. And that one has no rewatchability for me. And the best way I like to put it is that I don't owe Ari Aster anything, and I don't have to proverbially suck his dick. So I don't have to like everything he does. Hereditary is an awesome movie. Midsommar wasn't as good. Hey, to me.
you need to be that way about Christopher Nolan as well, just to be clear.
Ah, dang it. Do I have to do it to him too? That's not fair.
All right,
All
what
right,
else you
fine. I Crawl was really close to making my top 10 just because it does have a lot of rewatchability and it was just a really fun movie.
got? I still haven't seen it.
It's really fun. I mean, it's just a fun like creature feature. Like it's just, alligators trying to eat people and it's really fun. But it's also that's all it is. Like it doesn't even try to hide anything. Like
It
it's
doesn't
just
like
like
break
this
the
is a
mold.
movie about alligators eating people and it's fun. I put the hole in the ground in there. I think it's a really, really, really good horror movie, but I couldn't get out of my head that The Hallow did the same Irish folklore and did it better. I just couldn't get it out of my head. So,
I haven't
like,
seen that one either. I kind of wanted to, though. It looked like it was getting a
it's
lot of
good.
praise.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good movie, and I think everybody should watch it, but it just wasn't as good as The Hallow to me. I thought The Hallow was better. I put Child's Play on there. I thought the remake, I like the direction they took the remake. I feel like that's what you should do. Like you play with the names, you play with the like the overall elements of like the skeleton of the story, but you like put a big twist on it. Like that's a good way to do a remake. And I think it was impressive that they took the courage to try something different. And then the last one, which is a bit of a controversy because most people didn't like it, I put Brightburn on my honorable mentions only because I really liked the idea. I thought it was a really cool idea to like basically turn a what if Superman story into a horror movie, and it just missed the mark in a lot of ways, but it was a really cool idea, and I enjoyed it enough to put it on there.
All right. Well, there you go. A little bit of crossover
Yeah.
there. or crossover that you'll see in a second. You want to
Yes.
start off with, well, actually, I'm rating mine really quickly and a last-ditch effort to be as good as you, Sickle, but do you want to start with like our top tens and we'll do 10 to 1?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So why don't you do your 10 and we'll go
Okay.
from there.
All right. My number 10 was Wounds, which did make your dishonorable. It was close for me. I feel like in my description, in the article we posted yesterday, it sounds like I'm bashing it more than I actually liked it because that one does struggle with rewatchability for me, because as Ifrit pointed out, like it is slower. It doesn't, it like it kind of amps up towards the last half hour, but like I really liked the imagery. I thought it was a good adaptation of like what Lovecraftian horror is. And I feel like it did a better job than a lot of other movies have. And good performances all around. I thought it was a good movie. Yeah.
Wounds, I think the only thing for me, Wounds just like didn't it, I'm not I couldn't associate myself with like the stuff that was happening in it enough to make me feel like some of the stuff was happening I felt was dumb because I'm not human enough, I guess. And so it's like a it's like totally a first world problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
No, that makes sense.
okay, so my number 10 is Ready or Not. So I liked Ready or Not a lot. I thought it was a really cool take on like the whole like there's a lot of movies that have done games as horror, right? Like Escape Room, like Game Over, or whatever that game was called with Frankie Muniz. Like even the Hulu one, Stally Alley or Annie or whatever. They did like all these board game stuff, but Ready or Not was kind of cool in how they did stuff, and I really like the lady, I can't remember her name, from The Babysitter, and it was just as funny as that movie. I just thought it was a really cool, like, mix of comedy and horror, and the end payoff is great. Like, you're not sure about something the whole time, and at the end, it totally pays off, and you're like, awesome. That was perfect. Everything about it was just right in line with what it needed to be.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with everything you said. I just ranked mine higher, so spoiler.
Fair enough.
My number 9 is Sweetheart, which you mentioned in your honorable mentions. But it made mine towards the bottom, mainly just because I agreed with everything you said in regards to it. I just love monster movies that much, and I like the creature effects enough that I was like, eh, I'm putting it on there because I want more movies like that. And I would be happy with movies like that barely making my top 10, when they're produced that well. I feel like it was a really well produced movie.
Yeah, so the only my own problem with Sweetheart is that there's some really dumb stuff that happens in it that makes me feel like they kind of had to they copped out on some of the story stuff they could have done, and they didn't like explore like the monster as much as I wanted them to.
That's totally fair, and I feel like that was probably purposeful to give it more of like a Jaws approach. Mm-hmm. Of like you don't see it very much, but in this day and age, it's like we need more sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like I wanted to know more, but I'm never going to be able to because that's not the point of that movie.
Yeah,
that makes me sad. All right, my number nine. I'm trying to fix this list real quick, and it's just not working. My number nine is Extraordinary. Extraordinary was a movie we saw at Telluride, and it's a horror comedy. It's an Irish horror comedy about a medium who has to go, who after doing some bad, like accidentally doing some bad stuff as a medium, has to go back into the field and kind of like save this girl from summoning the devil. And it's just really funny, and there's tons of horror in it, horror comedy in it, and it's a lot of good, like, kind of visuals, gag stuff, and I just felt like it was really, as much as Scare Package is a good meta horror movie, Extraordinary was just a better movie. It has like it's just a better plot and funnier jokes and a really strong cast, and I mean, it's just I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that one. I wasn't able to catch it there, but yeah, it was definitely one I wanted to see. It just didn't line up with, and we went our separate ways on that one. So
yeah,
my number eight is Making Monsters, which we also saw at Telluride. I thought it felt like a blend of a lot of different movies, but also at the same time felt like its own movie. Like it reminded me of a lot of movies, but I was also appreciating it for what it was. And it still felt like a very overall a wholly original movie, and I was really impressed by, especially, like, this is one of those movies where, like, afterwards, yeah, it kind of like You Might Be the Killer, where afterwards you find out the context of the production and, like, every way that they, like, cheated the system to make the movie as good as it was, and, like, just knowing how low their budget was and, like, all the things that they had to push through, all the obstacles they had to push through, and it still looked as good as it did. I thought that was really even more impressive, and I thought it definitely deserved to be in the top 10.
Which movie was that, sir?
Making Monsters.
Making Monsters. Yeah, that one was cool, too, because it's Aaron... Or not Aaron Buchanan, it was, what's his name? Justin Harding, who did a bunch of horror shorts that I absolutely love, so...
Yeah, yeah, and he did a good job in his feature length, and I hope he keeps going.
Me too. So, we're on number eight, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. My number eight is The Headhunter. So, this movie didn't come out in 2019. It came out in 2019, but it circuited in 2018, right? So...
Yeah. I always put a disclaimer on these top 10 lists because because we do, like, festival and theatrical. Sometimes we catch things on awkward times because sometimes there's, like, a theatrical release in 2020... But we saw it at a festival, but then, like, there's also a festival run in 2018, and we didn't see it until it was theatrical release. So, yeah, it happens.
So don't get on my case about that. But The Headhunter is a horror version of, like, my favorite kind of genre, which is fantasy, monster fantasy. Like, I think the best comparison here I can make is that it's very much like The Witcher, but it's a lot darker. And I really, really like that about The Headhunter. I think it would made it a really powerful movie in terms of what I wanted to get out of it, because as soon as I saw the premise, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to love this. And in fact, it was really good. And it had various monsters and cool fantasy stuff going on without being, like, at times it might have been a little slow for some people, but I thought it was just a really good movie in general.
Yeah, I love the premise of it. I love the practical effects work it did. Yep. I did feel like it got pretty repetitive in the middle. Where you're like, okay, I get it. He goes and hunts these things and brings their heads back. But it was also like almost like a one setting shot with no dialogue, and it kept your attention the whole time, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
so.
It is pretty. That's, I think, the thing is, like, for what they gave you, it could have been really, really bad, and it wasn't. And I've seen stuff like that that's really, really bad. And so
for
that's
sure.
why it was up there, yeah.
Yeah, I think it deserves a lot of respect. Number seven for me was Haunt. And this was one that you told me about and said that it was really good. And then I watched it and immediately purchased it and then watched it again with other people because I thought it was that awesome.
And I think the words you said was it has no right being as good as it is, which I think is the best way to describe Haunt. Because everything you read or see about Haunt is, you're like, really? Like, this is what I'm watching? Like, I've seen this. This has already been done. But not
100 times.
Really.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. And like, you'll still watch it, and it'll still feel familiar at certain points. Like, you know, like, you're getting introduced to all of the, you know, teeny bopper fodder at the beginning. And you're like, okay, well, all these people are going to die. But it's still fun. And it's like, I don't know, it was a really fun movie. I loved the take. I loved the little subplot with the main character. And I don't know, it was a great movie.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch if you haven't seen it, because it has a lot going for it.
Definitely.
All right, my number seven is not Haunt, but it's up there. Haunt is very close on this list next. But my seventh was Child's Play. So I think for me, what Child's Play did is it defined how you can change something that's a remake and make it new and inventive and its own thing without having to like lay too much into what a lot of remakes tend to do. Now, I know that there's been a lot of other remakes this year as well. Pet Sematary, It, a lot of stuff like that. But I think Child's Play had the right cast in it. It had more substance than the original Child's Play. I just liked it. I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, and I enjoyed it. And that is really, for like the remake of my list, that's the one that I picked because I thought it was the most enjoyable one. I know a lot of people hated it, but I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, I feel like that's such a hard line to draw or to like try to, you know, to balance on of like, how do you handle a remake? And like most of them, you know, a lot of remakes they're too much like the original, and then other ones where it's like, why did you even put your name on this? This is nothing like the original. Like, it's so far disconnected from the original that you're like, this isn't even a remake of that anymore. And I feel like this one, it bounced on that tightrope and took it and took some chances, but also still made sure that it was still like a killer doll. You know, it's like, it's about this killer doll, Chucky, and it's going to murder people. And like, I don't know, but it took a nice turn. I agree. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
All right. What's your six?
Number six for me was The Perfection. And one of the main reasons that I put it on there was it is so rare, especially for me and you, where we hear about a movie and it's hyped up like crazy and it's like so rare that it's not a huge disappointment. Like, we go in and we're like, okay, this is going to be, it's supposed to be the scariest movie of the year, and then it's garbage. And this one was like, don't watch the trailer, don't hear anything about it, just go watch it. And you're like, it can't be that good. It can't be that good. And then like, you watch it and you're like, holy crap, you have no idea what's happening in this movie in any given scene. Like, it's so twisty, it's all over the place, it's insane, it's maniacal, and it's awesome. And I was so impressed, like, this movie actually was hyped up and actually lived up to the hype, which is part of the reason I've given it so much respect.
It's another streaming service creation. That was a straight-up Netflix movie, as far as I understand.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was definitely hard for me to take that off my top 10. But it was on there to the very last second. So, my number six was Haunt. I think we've said enough about Haunt already, but when I saw that movie, I wasn't expecting what I got, and that was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. If I was going to tell somebody to watch a haunted house movie, Haunt would be it. And I would say, don't even bother with The House of October Built or The Hell House LLC or any of that other crap. Just watch Haunt. Like,
yeah.
It's going to give you everything you want, and you're not going to think it's cliche at all because it's the first one you saw.
I like it.
Yeah. Right, what's your number five?
My number five is Ready or Not. I agreed with everything you had to say. It was probably maybe because I didn't catch Extraordinary, but it was my horror comedy of the year, which I will almost always have one of those on my top 10. And I thought it was the best horror comedy of the year. I thought it hit like plenty of notes on the thriller side of things, and it hit plenty of notes on the comedy side of things. And I love
Samara,
that dark comedy show.
Samara Weaving is that girl's name, right?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. And like, she's becoming like, I wouldn't even call her a scream queen because she's not usually a final girl. She's just like, She like usually plays the character, you know, a little bit more of a, I don't know how to put it, but like, I mean, she's evil in The Babysitter, so you know, she kind of goes across the spectrum.
Final Girl, because Ready or Not puts that Final Girl like character in a different light. That's really interesting. Where she's not the Final Girl at the end; she's the Final Girl from like the beginning, which is the whole movie's about the Final Girl, which is kind of an interesting take thing. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
My number five was Creepshow. So this is our first show. I thought the revival of Creepshow was perfect. The timing was perfect. Everything that they did to make that show the way it was like, it's been one of the better anthology shows I've seen in the last few years. Like, you don't really get a lot of good anthology horror anymore. And I think Creepshow, although it was very cheesy, did exactly what it needed to do to keep true to Creepshow form. And to give us anthology horror.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you cheat and have your little shows on there. But that show was awesome. So.
No, I don't cheat by having shows, because it's not the top 10 horror movies of the year. It's top 10 horror of the year. Okay. And if you want to keep it to movies, you can leave. Because that, I mean, I think we should be doing books and podcasts too, but you'd yell at me for that.
Oh, well, I'm not cultured enough for that, so that's, I just can't participate.
We know. Okay. All right, but yeah, Creepshow was my number five, and I just think that it was just perfection. If you like Creepshow, you're going to like Creepshow. That's the easiest way to say it.
I like it. My number four was After Midnight. It's from The Crew.
I can't believe that got so high on your thing. I didn't think you liked it that much.
Oh, I did. As it turns out, I love that, like, it's, you know, I mean, like, all of their movies are subversive. The Crew that makes this movie. I have only
seen After Midnight, so that maybe that's part of why.
Oh, no, because, I mean, like, there's some overlap with these guys. Like, it's basically, like, these guys are, like, part of, you know, some of them aren't, of, like, all these movies of, like, Spring and The Endless and Resolution and The Battery. They've got some overlap back and forth between their movies. And they all have this, like, this very similar take on film in which there's a horror element to it that is a vehicle that drives the plot, but the plot is more about the characters and their relationship dynamics and things like that. And this is another one of those where it's more about diving into the pain and redemption of this relationship than it is about the monster that's in it. But the monster is there. And so it's, I don't know, I thought it was a really smart film. Those guys always know how to nail it. This is some of the best writing they've had so far.
Yeah.
It's great.
Had I remembered to pick a movie that wasn't horror, but was that horror elements, this would have been on my top 10. Actually, I should have put it as an almost 10, because I loved this movie. Like, it's one of the only movies I've seen where the lack of horror in it didn't drive me nuts. And as being presented as a horror movie. But I do like the last, like, 5 minutes of it. You're just like, what? Oh my god! Oh shit! But yeah, After Midnight was fantastic. But let's be real. All of the movies that those guys put out are good. You're right.
It's true.
Alright, my number four is Dr. Sleep. It's not super horror-y. Horror-y? I immersed myself in Shining lore before I watched Dr. Sleep. So, by the time I was going to see Dr. Sleep, I had rewatched The Shining, rewatched part of the old miniseries, like, read all the books. And what I think Dr. Sleep did, and by the way, this is by Mike Flanagan, which I'm probably going to have something by Mike Flanagan on my list every year, because that guy does God's work. I think last year was Haunting on Hill House. Probably could have been Hush the year before that. I don't even know. It's just every time.
He does good stuff.
I think he did a perfect job of pulling every single version of The Shining in and creating a movie that pays respects and breaks away from all of them, which is insane. I don't know how someone could have taken that many different streams and put them all into one and still had the movie make sense. And I think it was actually scarier and more dark than the book, which is saying something, because Stephen King usually writes pretty dark stuff, in my opinion. And I think the Dr. Sleep that Stephen King wrote is actually more lighthearted than the movie.
Well, that's good to know. I haven't seen it yet, so
I'm excited. I think the best part about Dr. Sleep is you don't have to know anything about The Shining or anything like that to enjoy it.
Because it's its
own self-contained movie, and that is probably why. That's 100% why it's in my top four, is I thought it did everything justice without having to need you to watch everything.
I like that. That makes me more excited to see it. Mm-hmm. My number three is Us.
Wow. Shill. You corporate shill.
Oh, you haven't even seen my number two yet. I was a big fan. I'm with you. I want to see Jordan Peele just keep going. I'd like to see a project with him and Donald Glover together, considering that, like, Donald Glover has done a lot of similar stuff on, like, Atlanta, where he's got this, like, horror tinge to his stuff with the social commentary.
What has he done there?
Have you seen Atlanta?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's...
I thought you were talking about the state. I didn't realize you were talking about the city, sorry.
The way it's been described is that it's Twin Peaks with rappers.
Cool.
And so it's got this, like, kind of dark tinge to it sometimes. Not every episode, but some of them do, and... Like, it's just interesting because, like, they both have this similar dynamic of, like, having this lighthearted comedy throughout the horror, and, like, their writing is really good. And, anyways, I don't know. Jordan Peele, more stuff, please.
Yeah. I do say I need to go back and watch his, the rest of Twilight Zone because it got a little bit too topical. But I do want to finish it and watch it, and I'm really excited for Lovecraft Country. So, here we go. My number three is actually another show. It's Marianne. Marianne is the only foreign thing that I watched and told other people to watch. Like, I'm not a huge... And this isn't because I don't like foreign movies. It's generally because I don't like reading too many subtitles. But Marianne pulled me in. And for somehow, the people who created Marianne knew my greatest fear and made it incarnate. And that's why it was terrifying to me. I thought I've never seen a television show... A horror television show have so many good scares and creepiness to it. Like, nothing has done that yet. Marianne hit it on the head. And I watch a lot of horror TV shows and that aren't movies, so.
Yeah, I wasn't able to finish it, but I was really liking what I was able to watch. Yeah, it's legit as far as the scares go.
Now, I will say that some of the translation stuff can get a little wonky, but I definitely didn't watch it for the story. I was in it for, like, the craziness, so.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. All right.
Well, this won't be very surprising for many, but It Chapter 2 is my number two.
Oh, really?
I thought it was... it didn't have quite... I thought it was it. I mean, obviously, it doesn't have the, like, dedication, this, like, 10-year-long dedication and, like, you know, 80 movies of the Marvel franchise, Marvel Cinematic Universe... where it culminated in this big Thanos fight. But, like, I feel like, as far as horror goes, as we've discussed before, planned sequels just don't happen. And this, I feel like, was a pretty big leap for horror, for it to have the sequel planned out and everything's going to happen. And then I feel like it really culminated very well. I do think that Chapter 1 is stronger, but... And I think that Chapter 2 is a bit bloated at times, but just to try to make sure it gives every character screen time, but I thought it was still really good. I loved the, like, visual choices through most of it, and I thought that the acting choices were great. I feel like the guy that played, what's his name? Eddie? I feel like the guy that played Eddie stole the show, which is funny because he was, like, the least named, like, the least, like, known actor. But I thought he was amazing, and I thought he was hilarious in all of his horror scenes, and I don't know, I thought it was pretty fun.
I think the reason that it's not in my top 10, Chapter 2, is most likely because I just saw it so late that I was having trouble staying awake. So, that just goes to show you, treat yourself when you go see movies, don't see them just because you want to, just because you have to. Like, take your time and see the movie in a way that you're going to enjoy it. Don't push yourself to see a movie when you're not going to enjoy it.
I think that's a really smart idea because I do feel like there are a lot of movies that I've rated poorly, and it was probably just because I was tired.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, It Chapter 2 was good. I just don't remember most of it, so that's kind of why it never really impacted me thinking about it. I just knew it came out this year, and that's my fault. That's not its fault. So I'll say that right now. All right, my number two is a movie I just finished about an hour and a half ago. Daniel Isn't Real. I was not expecting what I got, even after being told what it was about. I think that both of the actors in that movie, the Robin's son and the Schwarzenegger son, were phenomenal. Like, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. I've never really seen, like, good acting, but whatever they were doing is what I would equate to good acting. Like, what they did was good. And the way that they acted like each other was kind of cool, too, which is a really interesting thing to have happen. There was some times in that movie where things get a little bit wonky, but I didn't care enough because everything else was such good in terms of how it paid off and how the story ended. And it was one of those ones where, like, I was sad afterwards because, like, I needed to know more, I wanted more, and I couldn't have it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you know where my number one is. My number one is Daniel Isn't Real. I've been talking it up since I saw it at Telluride Horror Show, and I thought it was amazing from, like, top to bottom. I thought the score was perfect throughout. I thought the visuals were perfect throughout. It was a great blend of practical effects and CG with mostly practical effects.
There's that scene where he crawls into the Robin's kid's mouth. That was crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And, like, even the first, like, possession scene where in the train.
Oh, yeah, in the sewer.
Under the thing, yeah, in the sewer. Like, that. I mean, it's still, like, it's so cool that, like, they took the possession into this, like, visceral form and took, like, two different approaches to it.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even just stick with one. And, like, the style of the Patrick Schwarzenegger's character and, like, the character design of him later on. I'm trying not to ruin it as much as I can. It's so good. I loved it from top to bottom. The script, the acting, the directing, the cinematography, everything is perfect to me. And it's definitely, it's pretty close to, like, I mean, I'd have to do a pretty strong analysis, but, like, it already feels like a top 10 movie of all time for me for horror. Wow.
I didn't even know what that list looks like for me, but I'm glad that you have that together.
I loved it. I thought it was such a good movie, and I think that another reason I loved it so much is it spans the horror genre. Like, it transcends the horror genre. I've recommended it to people that aren't even really that big a fan of horror, and they loved it too. It's dark. It's got some, like, pretty heavy elements to it. It's got some disturbing imagery, like Ifrit mentioned, that is pretty intense. But yeah, it's able to reach a very large group of audiences.
I was gonna say, as, like, some of the movies on my top 10, like Haunt and certain things, like, especially Marianne. Like, Marianne was jump scare crazy. Like, Marianne had so many jump scares, and they were good. But Daniel Isn't Real is not that movie. It's not.
Nope.
It's that Daniel Isn't Real, Black Christmas, Us, things like that are pushing the board bound. Even The Perfection, I think, are pushing the boundary of, like, what horror is going to become in the future. And that's why these movies are on our tops, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's a good direction. It's a good direction.
And then, since we talked about Sickle's number one, I'll just go straight into mine. Back true to form, to the Ifrit style of horror movie, my number one this year is The Wretched. And I think The Wretched is just an amazing Fright Night-esque, adventure-y kind of horror movie. There's great visuals in it. There's, like, interesting character stuff. It's not super serious, but it's also not super childish at the same time. It's kind of, like, a good mixture of, like Rear Window, Disturbia, like, Fright Night, all these kinds of movies, like, even something like The Hollow a little bit, in terms of, like, what you're getting out of this film. And I don't think anybody was really, especially me, was expecting it to be as enjoyable as it was. And, I don't know, I really, really, really like The Wretched, and I hope that everybody gets to see it this year.
Yeah, that's awesome that was your number one. I was pretty disappointed in myself for missing that one, at Telluride, but it was, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I'm excited. I'm ready to watch it.
I know for a fact that part of me, I know that a lot of people aren't going to agree that that's the best movie of the year. No one will say that. But this is my list, and I think that's very, very important part of why you're listening right now, is because if you have tastes that are similar to mine, you will really, really like The Wretched. And if you don't, then Godspeed. I'm glad that you I'm glad that you might get to hear about a movie you might not have heard about.
Oh yeah, and you know what? And that's what like top 10 lists are all about. It's about people. It's about your personal opinion. And I will tell this to anybody who's listening: you never ever apologize for liking a movie. You're able to enjoy it.
Ever.
And never. And you enjoy a movie as much as it gets to you. Like that. You know that's why it was made.
Yep. It's so
you can like it.
All right. Well, we missed a crap load, I'm sure. Let us know what you guys thought were good movies and what you don't agree with here. And that's all for us today. We went over, so we're gonna end.
Yeah, we need to get out of here.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.